7. The Camel and the Jackal. On New Year's Day 2000, about 2 months after he arrived in the capital city of N'Djamena to serve as United States Ambassador to Chad, Chris Goldthwait sat down to write a letter home to friends entitled, "Is It Hopeless?" He was referring to Chad. Certainly, it was a troubled place. Goldthwait was a senior officer in the Foreign Agricultural Service and a part-time novelist. He had been posted overseas before, but never as a full-fledged diplomat. The State Department dispatched him to Chad as part of an effort to recruit ambassadors from outside of its own ranks. During his first weeks in the country, he took the embassy boat, which had been acquired to allow the ambassador and his colleagues to escape to neighboring Cameroon in the event of coups or other violent unrest, out on the wide Chari River to look for hippopotamuses. He found a few, but he was more entranced by the families living in adobe brick huts, pre-modern-looking dwellings supported by mats and poles, their tin roofs held down against the wind by concrete blocks or big stones. Goldthwait was single and entering the twilight of his professional life. He was a self-contained man, ready to travel and inspect his vast assigned territory. It didn't take him long to discover that all aspects of life are starker here than at home. Greed, poverty, hatred, disease, death, honor, friendship, and love. If Chad's history was our standard for judgment, then there was little evident cause for encouragement. To seize the territory for the French Empire, two colonial captains invaded from Senegal late in the 19th century. They left a trail of burned villages and decapitated bodies before their African troops mutinied and murdered them. After independence, a succession of coups, rebellions, incursions from neighboring Libya, French interventions, and American Cold War-inspired covert maneuverings left Chad's 8 million people in the grip of Hissène Habré, who arrested, tortured, and murdered several tens of thousands of his countrymen. One of Habré's French-trained generals, Idriss Déby, eventually overthrew him. The dictator fled to exile in Senegal with as much gold as he could load onto his escape plane. Like his predecessor, Déby trusted only his northern tribal kinsmen and lavished upon them the lion's share of governmental largesse and responsibility, Goldthwait noted. It has meant that a government with meager resources, degenerating early after independence into corruption, has come to be viewed mainly as a patronage system. Chad's borders on international maps marked a landlocked expanse almost twice the size of Texas, and breathtaking in its internal diversity. Its people spoke 128 distinct dialects. The country's southern forests and agricultural lands, bordering Cameroon, received as much rainfall as the American East Coast. In the north, nomads roamed with camels and cattle through parched dunes and rocky crags. There were fewer than 80 miles of paved roads in the entire nation. Chad's poverty ran even deeper than Equatorial Guinea's. Life expectancy at the century's turn was just 46 years, according to the United Nations Development Program. Less than half the population was literate, and only a third of school-aged children were enrolled in classes. The economy suffered from poor to non-existent infrastructure, chronic energy shortages, high energy costs, a scarcity of skilled labor, limited understanding of the English language, a high tax burden, and corruption, according to a formal U.S. Embassy assessment cabled to Washington. Five of Chad's 6 neighbors, Libya, Niger, Nigeria, the Central African Republic, and Sudan, were politically unstable. Idriss Déby, like coup makers worldwide, had promised reforms when he came to power, but he had settled into a self-protecting regime made up of relatives and cronies with apartments in Paris, ruthless palace guards, half-loyal regional militias, and a training contingent of about 1,000 French troops and airmen on standby at N'Djamena's airport. Déby had skills. He was a thin, composed man with a general's sense of military maneuver and a tribal sheikh's instincts for political balancing. The Chadian elites in his precarious capital spoke a perfect French, Chris Goldthwait wrote, but there isn't anything behind it in the way of knowing what to do to solve problems. Hopeless? The arriving American ambassador chose to believe otherwise. Democracy movements had swept even the poorest African countries during the 1990s. National economies have been growing across the continent, even in the midst of civil violence. By the time Goldthwaite landed, Chadians had become marvelous at saying what they know we want to hear from them about democracy, development, national reconciliation, etc. Sooner or later, they will start to believe some of it themselves. He wrote to his friends, "So, no, it isn't hopeless, only incredibly difficult, more difficult than the miracles of development in East Asia, more difficult than the recovery of the District of Columbia in our own country, more difficult than the challenges facing South Africa or other African lands. But the people here will face the challenge because they have no choice. Is there anything we can do to help them?" ExxonMobil employed considerably more geologists than political scientists. The complexity of Chad that attracted their attention involved the subterranean formations of the Chari River floodplain, particularly around the Doba Basin. Exxon's local subsidiary, Esso Exploration Production Chad Incorporated, had started exploration and development work in the basement in 1977. Its engineers confirmed significant deposits at Bolobo. The oil there was thick and sour, meaning that it was infused with sulfur and thus less valuable than the light and sweet crude blends that attracted the highest prices on global markets. Those lighter blends were easiest to refine into gasoline and other fuels. The viscosity of Chad's oil presented production challenges, as did the diverse and inconsistent strata of rocks and water beneath Chad's eroded land, which complicated efforts to pump oil to the surface.